Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, 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 radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. And today, we just want to say a Shabbat Shalom. It is another Sabbath. And the Father has allowed us to reach another Sabbath day. And we just want to say thank you for allowing us to see another Sabbath in the creation. Today, Sounds of Living Water, we are still in the creation, man. On that second day. What do you mean we're on the second day? We're on the second day. Yeah. Well, y'all did with the first day like about. Yeah, we was. But if we like to speedball and go over stuff and gloss stuff, then I guess we would be on the sixth or seventh day by now, or probably even finished. But if you really want to find out what it is that God is doing, then you'll take your time and you'll really go through it and find out what it is that he has to say. Excuse me. So, that being said, I'm Joe Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class and the Commonwealth of Israel Bible Study Class. Today, and we're dealing with the firmament, the second day. We're in the second day of the creation. And the firmament is this place that God put in the middle of heaven and earth. And this place between heaven and earth is where he put the sun and moon and the stars and things like that. And time. He put time there too. So when he put time there, he brought everything into, I could say everything, because there was always a such thing as time, because there was a such thing as eternity, which is a form of time, but it's an endless time. When he put the sun and the moon and the stars in the firmament, he brought a clock to the creation. A precise clock that everybody can move and govern off of, right? So this is where we are. Also, I think we covered the sun. We haven't covered the sun and the moon and the stars and their plan and the whole grand scheme of things. Right now, we're just dealing with the elements of the firmament. And I think we're dealing with the firmament, I think we were just getting through with thunder. Thunder, lightning, rain, stuff like that. Because those things are in the creation. Those things are in the creation. Those things, as we know, I say, as we know, we see those things all the time. He put those things in the firmament. And, you know, we kind of like speedball through this firmament thing, and I think we ought to really take our time and just listen, just really listen. So, in fact, let's just get into the precepts so we can get into the gravity of it. So,
Shabbat Shalom, bro.
Shabbat Shalom, Israelite, grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Well, if you can find us a scripture, we can open up and prayed in, and we'll get started. So, we stand face Jerusalem and approach the Father.
Okay. All right. All right, it says, the king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. I've read Psalms 21, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing into the reading and the teaching of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brother and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but your light is blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and hear, to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that hears and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and hear, to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're in a creation, people, and I hope to pray that we can get this done, and I hope to pray that we can finish this in the feast days. That is to say, where the creation land in the feast days. So, Brother Keith.
Yes, sir.
Can you pick this up in Genesis chapter 1 and 1? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And read down to the 5.
Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said,
what we just picked up here is the first day. Here's from the beginning of time. He wrote it in the law. This is why you don't see a sun and a moon and the stars. And he wrote it in the law what time would be, evening and the morning. Up until this point, he is already establishing the first day of the month. Some of us believe the first day of the month is the beginning of the sight of a moon. And some of us believe that the first day of the month began at the new moon. And that the new moon is absent of light. That's us. We believe that the first day of the month began when there's no light, like now, like we're reading the first day. To me, this is the month of Abib, what they were reading about right now. This is the month of Abib. I can take this right here. I can take this count from here, count 1,000 years. Count 1,000 years, 14 times, and it'll land me on the Passover. It'll be right after the great white throne judgment, through the scriptures, right on the Father's kingdom, when he's coming down the New Jerusalem. That's the 14th day in the creation, as far as we know it. I know the earth is billions of years old. I know the universe is probably older. I could say the universe, I would say eternity is way older because he put heaven and earth there. You know, so it's older. We can't put a time on in the beginning. We can't put a time on something that did start. Like, man, we do have instruments that get a gauge on about how old this earth is. Some of us say the earth is 4.5 billion years old. That's a lot of years. That's a whole lot of time. 4.5 billion? Well, just give and take, right? It's just give and take that's true. I'm going to say just give and take that it is true, right? It still don't change the fact that he changed it. And he said an evening and a morning were the first day. He didn't create the earth on the third day. He had the earth come forward. The earth was created before time. If we can wrap our mind around it. The earth was created before time. There was no such thing as an evening and a morning when the earth was created. In fact, I want you to go back to one, and I want you to read one and two for me. You receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Now, what is this water that we're dealing with right here? So this is that thing. Go with the Revelations 22 and 1. So I want to show this water. You know, the earth was covered in before there was anything, before there was a man or animal or fish or anything. What is this water? Revelations 22 and 1.
22 and 1?
22 and 1.
Okay. Revelations 22 and 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Now,
and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face.
Now, we see here that there's a river, right? And in heaven, this water here is the river. He said that we'd be able to drink from freely. This is that thing. This is that water that he promised us. In fact, skip down to 17 and continue.
Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Stop. So this water have life in it. This water is in heaven. This water is the water that I'm willing to, I can definitely say it was on the earth before there was anything. Because out of it came everything. Everything. Everything came out of it. Grass, trees, metals, insects, birds, creatures, everything, us. So it came from life. This is the water of life, he called it. So this water of life brought life to everything, even the earth. Even the earth. So he said the earth was surrounded with this water. I can't think of any other water it would be surrounded with other than the water of life. You know, now, don't get me wrong. You know, we got these fairy tales in the world right now called the Fountain of Youth and all this type of thing, but we're not into that. We're into this book. And the only fountain of youth that I notice in this book is here. He said, I want all of you to come drink of this water of life freely. Now, this water I will put my life on is what surrounded the earth. This is what was in the beginning. And the water covered the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. What did the Spirit of God do? Bring life. Why would he bring life to the water, seeing that he's in a creation mode? That only makes sense to me. Okay, I'll put life in the water so that everybody can understand that life comes from water. Without water, everything dies. Without water, everything dies. Everything. Nothing survives without water. Nothing.
Amen.
Insects, percipient, whatever you want to call them, little molecules, whatever you want to call them, atoms, whatever you want to call them, little bitty things that's floating around in the air. Cells, viruses, germs, bacteria, nothing exists without water. So it's the water of life. Water of life. And this is the thing that he was talking about that he brought forth in the beginning was life here. This is it. Now let's go back to that Genesis chapter 1 and pick it up at verse 6.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
Okay, so now all this is relevant. Even calling it the second day, he created this thing called a firmament inside of the waters, right? Up until this point, you had the earth, you had heaven. All these things in the angels and himself, you know. You had these things going on. And then you had eternity there. You had eternity there. So inside of eternity, he put what? Firmament. A firmament. What is a firmament? A vault or expanse of the heavens, the sky. You know, so what he did was he put this time and space in between eternity and put a clock there, called it the sun and the moon. And he gave eternity a clock. Not that they needed one, but he did because the grand scheme of things or the master's plan is that we, man, right, is going to be gauged on a clock. In fact, everything is gauged on a clock. The seasons, the laws, the statues, feast days, even the Sabbath right now is gauged on a clock. So this is that thing. So he said he put it in the sky. It says, the appearance of a surface of the imaginary sphere on which celestial bodies appear to be projected. A celestial sphere, there it is. The firmament is celestial. You can't see it. Although it's evident right before our eyes, there's something there that we can't see. We can feel it. We can feel it when we're walking. We can feel it when we're riding. We can feel it when we open the windows. We can feel it. It's everywhere. It's all around us. We can feel it. Mm. When I talk about the wind, you can feel it. Because there is a wind. When it's not blowing, you can still feel this. It's called a firmament. He said, it's a sphere. It says, apex of the sun's way or solar apex. You see, other words, it's a celestial point that it's where the sun is. Now, the firmament don't begin where the sun is at. The firmament began 100th of a second off the earth because he said the birds and everything. In fact, let's read that. Let's go to, skip down, let's read that. Let's go into Genesis chapter 1 and pick it up at verse 20.
You said 20?
No, pick it up at verse 14.
14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Okay, so now here comes the sun and the moon, and he put the sun and the moon in the firmament. But mind you, it's a water barrier that's above the sun and the moon and the stars. And I'm not talking about where the sun is, because there are planets that are further out than the sun. From the earth, there's a water barrier that surrounds us. I mean surround us. You know, the whole heavens, well, I should say the heavens, I would say, from our Milky Way, from our universe to the cosmos is inside of a big giant ball.
You know what, Brother Joe? I always be telling that, you know, about the circuit. And to me, I'm not the way it said that way, but it seems like we live in a fishbowl. That's what it seems like. It's water all around us.
Agreed. It is like we're in a fishbowl. And you know how when people, well, Pittsburgh was really popular. I don't think they was as popular as they were when we were younger. But when they were really popular, we had all those different marbles in the fishbowls and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah.
To me, marbles used to look like planets, you know. So it was easy to relate marbles and planets inside of water.
Amen.
So that kind of just, that made sense to me, you know, because that's something that we do. And where do we get it from? Well, we got it from God. You see, this is that thing. That's where we got it from. We got it from Him. Inside of this fishbowl is everything. Us, the stars, the angels, the fish, everything. It's inside this bowl. And so, like, you know, like a child or any other person that looks at a fishbowl and look at it and say, wow, man, that's a really beautiful fishbowl. Then you got some fish in there that's attacking other fish. You're like, that's fish. But you come back and the fish is dead, stuff like that. Those things happen. You know, same thing in this grand scheme of fishbowl, you know, if I could say that. Anyway. That's the way it is. And so he put the sun and his moon and the stars inside of this water thing. Now, let's also bring this up. The sun is created to give light upon the earth, not in the water. That's the law. So when you swimming, I ain't talking about in the swimming pool, but if you like in a lake or a river or something like that, those of us that swim in places like that, you know what I'm talking about. The deeper you go, the darker it gets. Because the law isn't that the sun should give light upon the water, but that it should give light upon the earth. So the further you go in the water, it gets darker. So it only stands to reason that the water that's above the firmament, that sunlight can't penetrate it either. So it's no way we can see heaven because of the firmament, because of the water that's above us, because the sunlight won't penetrate it. The law is that the sun is going to give light on the earth, not through water. So in some places, the water is so dark, right? Because remember that darkness is on the face of the deep. So water technically is absent of light. If you look at it from that perspective, because when he created these fish, some of these fish have lights on them. They can glow at certain depths of the ocean. I should say,
amen,
certain depths of the sea. So the farther you go in the water, the darker it gets, then the fish become more creative in developing their own light. You start seeing this a light show in the waters, you know, which is amazing. But that's a part of it. Water do not carry light well. You can swim to the bottom of the ocean, and your flashlight that you had was at the top of the ocean, shot out pretty well, but the deeper you go, the less illumination your light gives, your flashlight again, because the darkness becomes deeper and more condensed. So Genesis chapter 1:1, 1:1, 2, 3, and 4 is the truth. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. Darkness is on the face of the deep. You see, and we didn't have submarines to go that way. But when Genesis was printed, and I would say the 1611 version, there was no submarines. There wasn't no submarines in 70 AD when we was carried away captive. There wasn't no submarines in the days of Solomon and Moses, and there wasn't no submarines in the day of Adam. ain't saying that Adam never walked on the bottom of the ocean with God. I mean, all things is possible with him. And if there's no fear of death, then why wouldn't Adam walk on the bottom of the ocean?
Amen.
Why wouldn't Adam be able to walk on the bottom of the ocean with God? He didn't have no reason not to believe anything that he said, like your child. You see, so this is that thing. So we got this here. He said, now, continue.
Verse 20, And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open.
If you're breaking up really bad, so I'm going to ask you to hang up and call back.
Hang up and call right back? I'm sorry. I'll call right back.
Yeah, just call back in. You got a bad connection.
Okay.
Let's see. So he said this, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So the sun and the moon would sit in the firmament with the stars also to give light upon the earth and upon the surface of other planets and things of that nature, you know. And now he said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life. This is, in other words, I said, let the waters of life flow. The same waters that he covered the earth in is the same waters that he created. It was in the beginning, I should say. That was the same waters. So, this is that thing. Amen. How you doing?
Amen.
Well, we're going to get through. I guess we're going to have to make that happen. So, let's pick it back up at 20, because now we see the water carry life, right?
Right.
Verse 20.
And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening morning was the first day.
You know, Keith, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, how do my microphone sound?
You sound fine to me.
Okay, every time you say something, I'm getting like a feedback, and then when you read, you kind of, your microphone go in and out.
Oh.
Now, I don't know what it is, because I know you just called back in.
Yes.
Okay, well, just keep on, just keep pushing.
Can you hear me now?
No, it's still doing it. Every time you say something, it'll say something like, you know, like some kind of static behind it.
Oh, must be distortion. I'm not sure. I don't have anything else going on here. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind.
That's better. Okay. That's better.
Verse 24. And God said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so no, we just want to get back to that. So he said this. He said, so he brought forth life out the water. And what else did he bring out of water? Blood. He brought flesh and blood out the water. You know, you got birds. They got flesh, man. You eat chicken all the time. You're eating their flesh. You know, flesh. And then on top of that, if you, you know, you when you prepare your chicken or your turkey or whatever it may be, they have blood. So he brought blood in on the fifth day. And the fish have blood in it and in them. You see, it's that thing. So he brought forth flesh and blood. That's why he was talking about us all manners of flesh in the earth. You got celestial, terrestrial, then you got flesh of plants and flesh of seeds, flesh of fish, flesh of insects, and the flesh of man and the flesh of beasts. And what's really weird is that all men's flesh ain't the same either. You know, which is crazy because all of our flesh isn't the same. But we all
Amen.
Came from water. We all came from water. So now we see that we have flesh and blood come out of this water. Now, this is that thing. This is why I said this water here is the water of life. That was in the beginning. This is the water that we read in Revelation. Now, what happened between Adam and now, maybe he turned it down. I don't know. It looks like to me that the water is still giving life no matter where it goes. If you let water or rain come, water is going to come out of the desert. Plants is going to grow out of the desert that we've never seen before.
Amen.
If it rained in the Serengeti, if it rained in all the deserts of the world, it would bring forth trees that we never seen before that may have properties that will give us life eternal.
Amen.
But because there's no water there, those trees aren't manifested. You see, so this is that thing. So water have all kind of power in it. You know, he referred to water as having power.
Right.
So this is that thing. So now, but we're dealing with this water part of the firmament. And so let's put this up in heaven. Let's put them in heaven. Let's go into Psalms 104. Okay. Psalms 104 and verse 1. When you receive a read.
Psalms 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who make the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
Stop.
At thy rebuke.
So we see here that this water that he separated is above the mountains. So no matter how tall a mountain may be, you know, like Mount Everest or whatever, it was up on the water at one time here. All these great mountains that's in the world that we know, they were underwater. The Grand Canyon, the water. I mean, it got water levels on it.
Amen.
It got water levels on it, and it got water time dates on it. So it's a time date on the Grand Canyon. So we had this time date not only in this world in the grand in the United States, but you got a grand you got similar places like this all around the world that have time dates on it. They may not look like the Grand Canyon, but they rocks were covered with water and they got time dates on it. That there was water on these rocks billions of years ago. Billions of years ago. Not millions, billions. Like I said, the Earth is older than 10,000 years. Anybody teaching that the Earth is just between 1 and 12, you know, 5, 6,000 years or, you know, 10,000 years old, they an error. Earth is way older than that. It was created back in the beginning, as we read in Genesis. It's older than that. It's older than 12,000 years or 10,000 years or how old man been on the planet. How long we want to set the time window for the creation. It's older than that. So we see here, he said, blessed, this is Psalm 104 in verse 2, he said, who cover thyself with light as with a garment and stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh his clouds a chariot of Walker, who maketh his clouds his chariots and walk upon the wings of the wind. You see? So that's your firmament in the middle of the heavens. He says, so where your wind come from? To the firmament. That's where your wind come from. Excuse me, that's where the wind come from. So
amen.
He moved through the wind. And he also said that he put it's laid in the foundation of the water, right? Well, we know it's a water barrier right. That separates heaven and earth, so I wouldn't be surprised at that. And he said this in verse 5, he said, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever, of course, because if New Jerusalem coming down here, then it's not going to be removed forever. And if Satan is going to be thrown in the lake of fire day and night, which is on the earth, then it's not going to be removed forever. The day Satan is loose is the day the earth comes to an end. It says this, it said, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever, who covered it with a deep, with a garment, and the water stood above the mountain. So, read verse 7.
Verse 7 reads, at thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away.
Okay, so now we see in the firmament, we got what?
Thunder.
Thunder. Got thunder. You see? We got thunder that's in the heavens, man. So what do thunder bring forth? Right?
Right.
Let's go into 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 12 and 17.
First,
in fact, you know
Samuel.
What? I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there yet. Go to Job. Go to Job chapter 28 and 26.
Job.
Oops. Job chapter 28 and pick it up at verse 25.
25? Yeah.
Sir.
Excuse me, sorry about that.
Hit the button.
Okay. All right. You said Job 28 and 25?
Job 25.
Job 28 and 25. To make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree. Oh.
Now you ask yourself this. If he weighed, he got the weight of the water. How is that possible, seeing that water is evaporating every moment? That's the other thing. And we got water inside of us. We got water that we pissing back into the creation. He got that weight on it.
Mm.
He also said this. Notice that he also equated with this water is this. He said, to make the weight of the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. So water and wind are simultaneous. Because wind don't exist without water, seeing that wind is air, and air is generated by water. You listen?
Amen.
Without water, there's no firmament. Without water, without the firmament, there is no air. There is no such thing as oxygen, air. For us to breathe, those things don't exist. Read verse 26.
Verse 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder.
So he said when he made a decree, what do you mean? He wrote a law that in the firmament, it's going to do what? Rain. He made a law that in the firmament is going to bring rain. The rain is for us. The rain is what purifies the water. When it rains, he washes the earth down. You know, in some cases, he let the flood out on them, you know, and wash a whole city or village away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it had its own reasons. God knows. But he will. I was watching certain documentaries, man, people just out walking around, you know, hanging out, you know, doing what they do every day. And next thing you know, it's a flood coming down the middle of the street. And all of a sudden, people just getting whisked away. Just out of nowhere, like somebody opened up a dam or something.
Mm.
But this is how he do. This is how he get down. What comes with water? What comes with the firmament? Rain. Unstoppable rain. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Unstoppable rain. Can't stop it. He can flood this earth all over again just with the rain. But it's without measure. You can't measure rain. You can't measure the wind. Then he said, when he made a decree for rain and by the way for lightning and for thunder.
Mm.
See, so he put that in the firmament, lightning and thunder.
That may be possibly the reason why these meteorologists are inaccurate.
They hit and miss. They hit and miss. Sometimes they be on the money, but I got to say for the most part, most meteorologists is probably a hit or miss. They either 50-50 or less.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a hit or miss thing. But, you know, it's always good to see what's going on. Because here, you know, they give us a 7-day forecast, right? Oh, tomorrow it's going to be 80 degrees and then it'll be 95. Oh, tomorrow it's going to be 80 degrees. And then it'll be 60. We have no control over that. We can guesstimate. You know, we can come up with our guesstimations, but there's no way we can determine something that God got in his power. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have machines that can generate rain. We've been doing that since science, since, you know, grammar school, you know. I'm creating tornadoes out of baking soda. I'm not surprised that we have machines like that. My thing is that in the end, he's still in control because that angel is in the middle of that hurricane or tornado.
Amen. Amen.
We might can generate rain, but I don't think we got that hurricane power. We ain't got hurricane power because that means we got the power to stop a hurricane. And
amen.
That's not going to happen. We don't have that kind of power. So he says this. He said, when he made the decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and the thunder, verse 7, verse 28.
Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
So he said this, and then did he see it and declared it and prepared it, yea, and it was searched out, and searched it out to make sure it was good. You see, so we see here that he even checked his own work, make sure it's good. And the other thing is, too, thunder cannot exist without oxygen and water. Thunder cannot exist without oxygen and water. So thunder is an echo or the voice of water. That's exactly what it is. Thunder is the voice of water. So to say, it's also the voice of God, but well, we heard that his voice sounded like thunder. Then we heard it sound like water. You know, either or, thunder is the voice of water. Anyway, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. And this is something I'm going to tell you, Samuel was the number two. He was up there with Moses. He was doing things like Elijah, and I know he anointed David, and, you know, he had did some things with Saul and all that, but I don't think we give Samuel enough credit for the miracles he was performing. Samuel 7 and 10.
Okay. Samuel 7 and 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel.
So Samuel kicked off the thunder and the lightning. I mean, what kind of thunder that would trip out an army? I mean, you had to fight people, and you worried about thunder, right?
Right.
you thinking about thunder, but those of us that's been on this planet more than 5 years or more, we done heard thunder, and thunder will stop you in your tracks.
Agreed.
Thunder will make you stop everything. Thunder will shake your pictures and all that stuff off the wall. Thunder will knock stuff off of your cabinet. Thunder,
amen,
can shake your house. So it's no telling how this thunder that he sent among them. All I know is that it shook them up. It sent them up. It shook them up, I should say. It shook them up. I'm an advocate for thunder, man. When I was a kid, we were playing. I lived on 58 and Justine, you know. And we were all playing, you know, in the Vidoc, so to say. Whatever we were doing, we were out there, and it started raining, you know. And, you know, when you're on the south side of Chicago, man, rain don't stop children. You got a Vidoc? Are you kidding me? Please. That means we could go over there and play. Right? But when that thunder hit, that thunder shook the Vidoc. It wasn't a question. It was time to go home because all of us was gone in a second. We stopped and dropped and took off. We dropped whatever we were doing, and we were gone. But we knew that that was bigger than us, and that was more than rain. So I can imagine, I can only imagine the kind of thunder that would shake up an army of men, of valor men, men of war, men that came for blood. You know what I mean? And thunder got them shook up?
Mm.
Now remember now, once again, that's Samuel drummed this up. Samuel called it to rain and thunder. Samuel did this, okay? Go into 1 Samuel chapter 12 and 18.
1 Samuel 12 and 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel.
See that? So Samuel,
yes,
had the gift of a number two. He was able to manipulate the elements. He was able to manipulate the firmament, which is a two. Samuel didn't call nothing out the water. He called it out of the firmament. So he was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a priest. He had the gift of miracles. And God listened to him. But it wasn't, I mean, this is like a normal thing with him, with Samuel, with thunder and lightning and thunder and stuff like that. Because he was doing that a lot with him. You see, this is that thing. Go into Samuel chapter 22. Samuel 22 and this is David. Now remember now, Samuel anointed David. So David saw Samuel work. David saw Samuel do his thing, right?
Right.
22 and 1.
All right. 1 Samuel 22 and 1.
No, 2 Samuel.
Okay.
Second Samuel 22:1.
Oh, we can't hear you. Oh. Let's see. I don't know, maybe it's called drop. No, we can't hear you. He's still online, we just can't hear you. Okay, well, I'll read it. It says this, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, and about in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So this is what David said. In my distress, I called upon, this is verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out, cried to my God, and he did hear my voice, temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. So we see now that the heavens or this firmament is being moved. Even the third heaven is being moved, right? He said he bowed
right.
The heavens also. Are you back?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Hello?
You was gone.
Sorry, man. It says might be something around my phone. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, we in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 10.
Okay. 2 Samuel 22:10. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode a cherubim.
Yeah, you need to read that 11 again. Yeah.
All right. And he rode upon a cherubim and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled.
We read in Psalms 104, he ride upon the wings of the wind, and he created angels out of the administered flames of fire. And he ride upon the wind, right? Then he said this. He said
right.
He bowed to heaven and came down. Darkness was under his feet. This, he brought it back to it the way it was in the beginning. He said, and made darkness his pavilion, and about him dark waters in thick clouds of the sky. So how is water dark? But you can see it. But you can see through water. The water was transparent. This is that thing, man. I think I was, like the other night, I don't know, I think it was like two or three nights ago. No, night before last, yeah. It was raining all night. I mean, it was dark rain, dark waters, really dark. You probably couldn't see more than about 20 feet in front of you or more. And this is how dark it was. Dark waters. So there's a such thing as dark waters in the firmament. There's a such thing as not just rain waters. Sometimes it rains, it'll be that little bitty raindrop, so you might get the dew sort of thing in the morning. But then sometimes, man, you get the raindrop that hit like a golf ball. You know what I mean? They be popping.
Amen.
Boom, 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 boom. You're like, whoa, it's been a rain. And it's hitting the ground like eggs and stuff. Pat, 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 pat. Like that, You're like, whoa. Yeah, we got sound effects. So you're like, whoa, man, this is just, it's been a rain. you know, because that rain there is heavy. But remember that he said he got it by weight. So he can hide a rain either like on a dew, a morning dew, a mist, a rain, a gentle rain, a downpour, a flood. He said he got it by measure and by weight. And however he decides to turn it out, he will. So he said this, he said, and made darkness his pavilion round about him, dark waters and thick clouds. So this is another thing that comes with the firmament. Clouds. Clouds. You see? That's another thing, man. He put clouds in the firmament along with the sun and the moon and the stars and rain and air and wind. He put clouds up there. And they come in various shapes, sizes, and forms and different colors. They come in, you know, the white cloud that we normally see that's, you know, on a good day. And then sometimes when the weather starts changing, it can be darker clouds or thicker, heavier, more thunder-looking clouds. Then on some days, man, it's just like just one big giant cloud over wherever we are. You can't even see the sun or the moon or nothing because it's one big giant cloud in the firmament preventing us to even see airplanes. The only thing you're able to see in the firmament is a bird. And that's by selection because most birds don't even be flying around when it's bad. When it's bad out, you don't see birds out there flying. They don't do that.
They go hide.
Right. They go somewhere and they shut it down. So you don't see them in the air. But once again, he got a cloud that'll cover this whole country and blackness, like he just said. You won't be able to see nothing. You won't be able to see the sun, the moon, or your neighbor next to you. Continue.
Verse 13. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy.
So he said this. He said, the Lord thundered from heaven, and he sent forth his arrows, and then lightning. So lightning come with the firmament. Lightning come with firmament, right? So not only do we have rain, we got thunder, you got air, you got wind, but you also got lightning. Now, with the firmament, these are all laws that he wrote for the firmament, that the firmament will be able to perform these things, you know, according to the law, without measure. He set the measure on what they can and can't do. But for the most part, they come unlimited. They got unlimited power. Water, thunder, lightning, air, rain, clouds have unlimited power. The only limit they have is the word of God. But they come with unlimited power.
Amen.
So he said this. He said, so through brightness before him were the coals of fire, kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, voice, and we heard that. Here come lightning. And then he said, the channels of the sea appeared. Where does this come from? Water. The water is of the seas, right?
Right.
So it came from there. Water. So this is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into the book of Job, chapter 26 and 14. In fact, I want to pick it up a little higher. Pick it up at verse 7.
Job 26 and verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end.
See that?
See
yes.
That?
So he said, look, man, he said, first of all, he told us, he stretched out the earth on nothing, not the north on nothing. So when you look at the north, you look straight up in the air, and what do you see?
Clouds.
Right. What they hanging on? Nothing. What the stars hanging on? A string? Nope, nothing. Nothing. He stretches out the earth, the north, in an empty place. There's nothing. So he put the stars and the sun and the moon where there was nothing. He called it north. Well, everything north of us is heaven. So that empty
Amen.
Space, an empty space in between each planet, so-called planet or moon or whatever it may be. You see a planet over here, and you see another planet over there. Well, that dark space right there, that's eternity. You put the planet inside of eternity, there they are. They're still there. They moving because water moves. Like we read, it's moving from east, from west to east. You see? So my take is that the same water flow that's on the earth, the same current that he took off the earth is the same current that's up above us. That current never changed. I'm willing to say this. Remember, when he separated the waters from the waters, right?
Right.
When he separated the waters from the waters, there was no such thing as holding back waves. Go to Psalms 89 and 9. Remember, he said the sea was revealed, right?
Right.
Okay.
Psalms 89 and verse 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them.
See, the tallest recorded wave in man This is the highest recorded wave. Now wrap your mind around this. Okay, just visualize yourself at a beach, right? Or lake, and a wave come at you taller 100 feet. Let me say this. 100 feet, right? 100
right.
feet taller than the Empire State Building.
Oh.
So that's the tallest recorded wave we have on record. That the tallest wave we measured was 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building. We have that on record. So how tall are the waves before he separated the firmament, before he created the firmament? That's the next question. There's no earth. There's no, I mean, there's no mountains. There's no men. There's none of that. There is no life whatsoever. All it is the earth and water. I know a lot of us would like to think that the water on the earth is just sitting there doing nothing. That is not true, because that water is full of life. So it was not just sitting there doing nothing. In my mind, I would like to believe that it was generating waves that was probably make that wave that was 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building look like a little person, look like a shoebox. If the Lord can cause a wave to be taller than the Empire State Building, then how tall was the wave that covered the earth before he separated the firmament? How tall are the waves now, even now this minute as we speak, that's above the firmament? Because there's still water up there. It's still a current. It's still moving. God told you that I move upon the winds of the wind, the wings of the wind. So there's a wind. So how tall are the waves that's above the firmament? I know one thing.
Oh, no.
You won't be able to sail a ship through it. I know one thing. You won't be able to use the SS Enterprise on it. The waves would tear that ship to smithereens. That ship would be sitting on the bottom of nothing. We have nothing that can withstand. Like I said, clouds, rain, water, waves, sunlight. All these things come with unlimited power. The only limit they have is through the commandments, is that they can't perform the things that they would because they're under the law. Doesn't mean that they don't or won't. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms 93. I want to go to Psalms 107 and 25. Let's do that. Psalms 107 and 25. In fact, let's do this. Let's pick it up at 23.
Psalms 107 and verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble.
See that?
They reel to...
He said, yes. He commanded it to raise the stormy wind, and he lift up the waves thereof. About 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building. He can lift up a wave 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, do you realize, man, I don't know if anybody can wrap their mind around this, but that's like laying the Empire State Building down at Snelling and it's probably right there at White Bear. You get done with that 100-foot wave. You get done with that 100-foot wave, you probably, that's the type of tall we talking about. Those of us that know what the Sears Tower look like, well, the Sears Tower is taller than the Empire State Building, but I don't think it's 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building. But if it is, that's what that wave looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants that coming at them? He said he lifted up, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. This is what I was saying. The waves of this is the waters that he separated. Now, mind you, you still got the waves above the firmament. That hasn't stopped. Those things, that's a part of the creation. Just because you got water above the firmament doesn't mean that they stopped being water. He stayed the waters for us. That ain't necessary for up there. In fact, just maybe, he probably got it up there for this one purpose. Just maybe one day, maybe, it hits inside of us that we might build us a USS Enterprise starship and call ourselves going to fly to heaven. He said the waves will destroy that ship. Him?
Yes.
He said those waves will destroy the ships. And not only that, make them think it again. Make them think about what they were doing. Look at it. He said, they mount up to heaven. The waves are so tall that they mount up to heaven. You listen?
Yes.
They go down into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. They're in that ship crying. Grown men. You know, on this ship crying and praying to God. You know.
Amen.
That's back in the day when we had sense to pray to God. Nowadays, you know, we don't need God anymore. We got internet. Right? So this is that thing. So the Lord is throwing, I would say, let's say he's throwing a 100-foot wave around. Right? We're not even going to say the Sears Tower because we know the Sears Tower is way taller than 100 feet. In fact, let me see. I can find out how tall it is.
You know what, I was thinking about what you was mentioning about the waves and stuff, and then it kind of brought me to kind of like to the past or whatever. And I was thinking about when Moses parted the Red Sea, I was wondering how tall those waves were. And then in modern time, I think the tallest waves in modern time were in Hawaii.
That's, I can imagine, man. What I'm getting, it says, Empire State Building is 1,200 feet tall. That's a whole lot of, that's over a city block. I take that back. That's over a city block. Over a couple of blocks, be honest about it. You're pushing up on a lot of blocks there. And then you throw an extra 100 on there, right? So 1,200-foot waves. I ain't ready for that. Unless I'm a spirit man. I'm not ready for a 1,200-foot wave. No one is ready for a 1,200-foot wave. But that's just to show what's going on in the firmament above us, because that's going on down here. So if it's going on down here, well, we know it's going on up there because it's the exact same thing. You see? So anyway, go to Isaiah 51 and 15. Isaiah 51 and 15.
Isaiah 51 and verse 15. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth. And I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Stand up.
Hold on. So we got this here. He said, but I am the Lord that divideth the sea, whose waves roar. So the first thing when we read this, because we're reading the King James Bible and, you know, about the God of Israel, is the Red Sea. But we forget that he divided the waters in Genesis. He said, I did this. This is it. That was the seed. Though the waters that's in Genesis are seeds. Those were the, they are seeds. No such thing as ocean in the Bible. If you look up the word ocean, you're going to be very disappointed. But before he separated the firmament, that water that was called on the earth before he separated it was seeds. It was the sea. So he divided the waters from the water or the sea from the sea. This is that thing. Right? One more place, and then we're going to look at another element, and God willing, we live, we will get back to that, to this other element of the firmament, because this is something that's in the firmament that we don't really give much credit to. I'm going to read this in the Kings after Solomon built the temple, right? Okay, go to 1 Kings. Let's see, 1 Kings and, yeah, 1 Kings chapter 7 and 44.
7 and 44?
Yeah, 1 Kings 7 and 44.
1 Kings 7:44. And one sea and 12 oxen under the sea, and the pots and the shovels and the basins and all these vessels.
No, you didn't just read that.
1 Kings 7:44?
What did it just say?
Excuse me. And one sea and 12 oxen under the sea.
Stop. That don't make any sense. If you don't look at the waters in the beginning that he separated it from as seas, then it don't make any sense. See, what is sea doing up above the cows? Because the entire earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 7 was up under the sea. He called the earth out of it. So Solomon knew what he was doing when he created the sea above the cows. See that? So once again, how tall are the waves that are above us? We will never fly to heaven in no vehicle whatsoever. Never. The water pressure would destroy us before we even get to it. And just by chance, just that we manage to squeak or leak through the waters, then we get in the heavens, it's on fire, then we'll melt. Sound kind of fantastic, but it all make perfect sense to me.
Amen.
It makes sense to me. So let's look what else is in the firmament. Let's go into Revelation chapter 2. Go to Exodus. And we're gonna leave it here at Exodus. We're gonna pick it up here at Exodus, right? Exodus, if I'm not mistaken. Exodus. Let me see. Exodus chapter 9 and 18.
Exodus 9 and 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Then therefore now.
So what come out of the firmament?
Hail.
Hail. He said, I'm going to cause it out of the firmament. I'm going to rain hail on you. That ain't even funny.
No.
Skip down to 23.
Verse 23 reads, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Stop. This hail came with what? Fire.
Yes.
For the firmament that generate water and wind also generate fire?
Fire.
Fire out of water. Fire from rain.
Yes.
What composition that can cause fire and water to mingle from the firmament? What God got in that, in this firmament, he could cause fire to come out of it?
Lightning? Yeah.
You know what? That was my first thought, but he would have said lightning. He talk about lightning like we talk about lightning. So this is different. He said hail ran along the ground. Like the rain, like the water. When the rain hit the ground and the water run, the hail was doing the same thing. It was burning people and beasts up. It was burning people up. He said the hail smoked throughout the land of Egypt, all the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Now, how big is, first of all, it break every tree, not some of them, every tree. And the other thing is how heavy, how big of hail or fireballs were God throwing from the firmament?
Talent?
Yeah, 100 pounds. 100 pounds of fire, bro. Let's look at that. Revelations chapter 16. Revelation 16 and 21. In fact, let's pick it up at verse 17.
Revelation 16 and 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as were not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And the men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Whoa. Three things happen here, right?
Right.
One, the island fled away, right?
Right.
How did that happen? Big A wave. I'm hoping and praying that all of my people that's in the islands, they survived this. But the islands fled away, that means the water overcame them. There was that Big A tidal wave that we were talking about that was 1,200 feet tall. Just wiping out islands like Haiti and the Caribbeans and places like that. Just wiping them out. Then it also says here, he said, and every island fled away and mountains were not found. So in some places, the earth, the mountains was covered back up again by the water. So the Lord is planning on drowning people too.
when we come back. The what?
The firmament.
The firmament. What else? It says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and man blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. The weight of a talent is 100 pounds. That's why he said every tree in Egypt was broke. Because you're talking about 100 pounds of anything falling on anything is going to break whatever. And it ran on the ground. Fire ran on the ground. So you're talking about the hailstones coming through ceilings. I mean, the only place it literally could not, I am not even going to say where it could not have manifested itself. All I know is that Egypt got it good. And it was all from the firmament. Like I said, Samuel, he calls it not the rain. He was playing with that rain a lot. Samuel was working that rain and stuff like that. Then here come Elijah. He stopped it from raining and so forth. And it was another prophet did the same thing. But Moses, he did the most with the water. You see, that was that thing. So, we're going to get back to this because that firmament is carrying a whole lot of weight. We haven't dealt with the snow, right? What about the snow?
Right.
We ain't got to the snow. We ain't got to the ice. We ain't got to the ice on top of the mountains that he talk about from the firmament. You know, we just blow through these things like, you know, we're supposed to just like, it's supposed to just come to us or something without doing no research, no homework, no nothing. But poof, God will put it in our head, you know. If you're reading, then it'll make sense. If you're not reading, it won't make sense. That being said, any questions or comments? Got any questions or comments, press number one. That's up for you, Keith.
Yes, sir.
If you got any questions, feel free. But anybody that's listening, please press one.
I wanted to say that was an excellent lesson, brother. I appreciated it very much, you know, to get a better understanding of it. My mind got to wandering and stuff, and I was thinking about everything you was mentioning and stuff, and then I started thinking about a whirlwind and stuff, and like all those elements being in a whirlwind and stuff, you know. I was thinking that the whirlwind obviously comes from heaven, and it's bringing all those elements down, and that's when we, you know, have these natural disasters and stuff, you know. Like you've been mentioning, you know, the wind and the water, you know, the air, you know, lightning and thunder and all that stuff is happening, you know, and I'm looking at the thundering like the thundering is kind of like a sound wave, and it kind of shifts the elements, like he was saying, like to and fro like a drunken man and stuff. So it's kind of like, you know, it's coming from the north, obviously, and then he'll send it wherever direction he may. To the four corners of the earth, excuse me. But that's what I kind of looked at it like, you know, when I see things like that in the movies and stuff, and the people are caught out there in those elements and stuff, and it'll, you know, it'll pick up a ship, or if a plane gets caught within that whirlwind, it's not going to make it. Pretty much going to crash, you know. But that's basically what I got out of it. But, you know, that was an excellent lesson, brother. You know, grace and peace under the family that's listening. With that, I close.
Hey, man, you know what?
what the Father showed me, man, that I, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm always amazed at some at the things that he allowed me to see. And I was gonna say some of the things he allowed me to see, because I have not seen a whore of the things that he got going on in this book, let alone. But what I got when he showed me, when I was listening to the news, that's where I got it from. The tallest wave ever recorded was 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building. Then that caused me to think of this, that there are waves in heaven and that they are taller than the wave that was recorded. In fact, it probably made that wave look like a little bitty wave.
Agreed.
That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. You know, the great winds and all that type of stuff, you know. All right, well, once again, if you have any questions, press 1. I don't see any hands up. So, all right, well, I hope and pray that someone got something out of this, man. I'm so serious. I hope someone got something out of this, and that you know, that the Father, man, he's doing his thing, man. The clouds, the firmament, the lightning, the thunder, you know, the whole shebang. And then he got stuff in the elements inside of the firmament that's just bigger than us. And we, and like I said, we haven't even got into the parts of the snow, the blizzards. Oh, that's in the firmament too. Right. But with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. I'll say great job reading, Brother Keith, man. And we're going to pray that the enemy do not return, and that you mute that situation from your microphone. So, in Jesus' name, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. As we say here at the Sound of Living Water, please
read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles. Please read your Bibles. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Shalom, Mr. Light. Shabbat shalom. Good job.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you. You do it too. Good
job. Have a blessed day. Sound of the living water. Sound of the living water. Sound of the living water. Radio show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.